Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
The figure is that fire will be set to us. Not the punishment, it'll not burn, but it'll burn away all the phoniness and hypocrisy and insincerity that we have in our lives, even though we're Christians. So I would stand before the judgment and I would say, Lord, look what I've built. I preached that sermon. Oh, but you were showing off in front of the people. That's burned up. Oh, I gave something to the poor to help them at Christmas. Well, but you did it a lot of people knows about. That's burned up. So we begin to look at our motives and what we've done and what we haven't done. All of a sudden, we have this fire. It says wood, hay, and stubble burned up in the judgment. All this stuff we've done when you check out your motive and my motive, right? Only the gold and the silver and the precious stones, that which we have done and accomplished and said with a pure heart, that will stand in eternity.
The truth is, your faith isn't just about what happens after you die. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, The Final Judgment, and encourages you to live out an abundant faith here and now every single day. That's coming up in just a moment on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, it may seem like we're living in the end times, but as Christians, we don't need to fear the end of the world as we look to the proven truth of God's Word. Dr. Young wants to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises about the future with his five-message series, End Times. It'll encourage you with the certainty of life after death, the beauty of heaven, and the assurance that Jesus will return for his children. We'll send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Final Judgment, Part 2.
Also a special place for those who have my position or if you teach a Bible study class, and we do not present the whole truth of God, what it means to be a Christian, repentance, reception of Christ, when the cross is left out, and when the Holy Spirit is not mentioned as convicting people of sin, when there is not repentance, when it is not a new life, there's just salvation without lordship. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but salvation in the sense that now we're in the parameters and we seek to live lives pleasing to Him. There's a special place for those who teach heresy and false views of this book. So that is all written in the judgment process. Now, I know somebody here is saying, what about those who've never heard about Jesus? What is God going to do? Let me tell you something. Look at your screens. I want you to remember this, nail it down. Listen, people will be judged on the basis of what they did with what they knew. God is not going to say, you never heard of Jesus? Go down in the fire. What kind of God is that? Where are you? So they're going to be judged on the basis of what they did with what they knew. Judged on the basis of conscience, based on the light of nature, and based on whether or not they've ever heard the gospel. Romans 1, other passages in Scripture. We've got a God that's gracious, a God that loves, a God that cares, a God that forgives people like you and me. Man, He's in the business of grace and forgiveness. But also there will be judgment on this basis. And we need to see and we need to understand that. It will be an exacting judgment for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the great white throne judgment. There'll be a second judgment for those of us who are Christians. I want you to look at it. It's found also over there. And you find it again in 2 Corinthians. That's what I read a while ago. Let me read it again. Verse 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed, will be rewarded for the deeds that's done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now that's important that we know. We will all be there before the judgment seat of Christ. Not really judgment. It'll be our reward. You say, well, I'm not working for rewards. You know, all I want is a little shack in heaven. Well, you haven't been satisfied with the shack on this earth. You think that's all you want? Be careful. So I said, well, I just want to have a back seat in heaven. Maybe God wants you to have a front seat. We're talking about responsibility, accountability with what you are and what I am and what we have. And that's where it'll all be measured. It'll all be handled out. And one thing is for sure. God's judgment in heaven will be absolutely fair. It will be fair. It will be equitable. There'll be fairness there, total fairness. Somebody said, well, will I be able to plead my case? I wouldn't recommend it. He who knows all, oh, no, no, no. He will be fair. You want me to judge you? You'd make a mistake. Let me confess a little sin. It's a pretty big sin, really. The Super Bowl is tonight, right? Y'all remember that? I made a statement early in the week that I didn't like either one of the Coach Harbaughs. I just didn't like them. I don't know why, I just didn't like them. And then somebody sent me on the internet an article on John Harbaugh. When he was in college, he came to know Christ personally, got in a Bible study group, so he turned his life right side up. Now he's married, has one daughter. He said, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, Coach, you have any goals in your life? He said, no, I don't have any goals. They may be considered idols. He said, I want to be a humble man serving Christ without guile. John Harbaugh, coach of the Baltimore Ravens, the one I did not like at all. And I judged him. In his office, he doesn't have pictures of Vince Lombardi out there on the... He has all the drawings of his daughter there as a child. Little drawings she'd made in Bible study or Sunday school or church. That's what his office is primarily made up of. This is a guy I was throwing off the cliff into the pit. It even gets worse than that. Let me confess. It's hard to do it. The quarterback for San Francisco. Y'all know him, Colin Kaepernick. You know Colin the quarterback. Look at all those tattoos. I saw those tattoos. I said, isn't that a disgrace? I ought to make him put powder over those and put makeup over those. I mean, he's one of those West Coast, you know, wild guys. What a godless thing it is. Oh, and then I got something in the mail, the internet. Let me show you what those tattoos say. Look at your screen. This one is tattooed. It says, heaven sent. Then he quotes Psalm 27:3, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. And he pats that when he does something good in the game. It even gets worse. Look at this. I want to show you the next thing. He has faith on this bicep. On the other side, he has respect. And look at the rest of it. Up here on his shoulder, he said, let God lead the way. Look on the other side. It says, Psalm 31, you have armed me with strength for battle. You humbled the adversaries before me. On his back, he has a cross with a ribbon around it. And you see him with his shirt off. He's a walking Bible. I've never seen anything like it. I'm telling you. He's got scripture all over him. His mother said, my son just wants to serve the Lord. That's all he wants to do. Well, I'm telling you, I really did a good job judging him. I'm telling you, count on me. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't recommend that all of you go out and get tattooed. Keith has already done that. Most of you don't see. But I don't recommend that. But we do remember the Bible says is that those who are in Christ, God has your name tattooed on the palm of his hand. No, I'm not for everybody getting tatted, but I am saying evidently I misjudged this young man, because when he does something good, he points to a scripture, he points there. You know, T-Bowing is praying. Now we've got, I don't know what we're going to call him, but he is a tattooed man, as we see there, as he'll play before us. But I've already judged him with my omnipotent wisdom as being a thug or a punk or something. You see, we're not qualified to judge, are we? Is anybody here seen him on TV and had the same impression I did? Would you lift your hand up and let's join? Oh, my goodness. Look at all of this. Good, good, good. See, God will judge in purity and holiness those of us who are believers. And this will be a time of reward. But when we step up there, if you read in the Bible, another passage in Corinthians, it says that we stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're building our house, our lives, on the foundation of Jesus, right? That's, as Christians, that's where we stand. And then we're to build on that, and that is our good works, that's our moral living, that's things we do for God, that's our belief, our integrity, our faith. But at this judgment of Christians, the figure is that fire will be set to us. Not the punishment, it'll not burn, but it'll burn away all the phoniness and hypocrisy and insincerity that we have in our lives, even though we're Christians. So I would stand before the judgment and I would say, Lord, look what I've built. I preached that sermon. Oh, but you were showing off in front of the people. That's burned up. Oh, I gave something to the poor to help them at Christmas. Well, but you did it a lot of people knows about. That's burned up. So we begin to look at our motives and what we've done and what we haven't done. All of a sudden, we have this fire. It says wood, hay, and stubble burned up in the judgment. All this stuff we've done, when you check out your motive and my motive, right? Only the gold and the silver and the precious stones, that which we have done and accomplished and said with a pure heart, that will stand in eternity. Therefore, most of us, I'm afraid, we say, I'm a Christian. My life is built on the foundation of Christ, but we put on top of it a playhouse or a candy house of sweetness and pleasure. And we haven't lived the lives that are transparent and humble and serving and loving and kind and generous. Oh, yeah. And so as we are receiving rewards, a matter of capacity and responsibility and closeness to the Father and the Son in all eternity, as we receive our rewards, it'll be on the basis of our generosity, on the basis of our integrity, on the basis of our candidness, on the basis of our work ethic. Listen, if you are a Christian, you ought to be the greatest employer or employee in your company. There's no room for laziness or slothfulness or lateness. As a Christian, we'll answer to God that I stood and I worked and I represented that which I was a part of, strong and straight. That'll be a part of the justice and the judgment we'll face in eternity. Millions upon millions gathered there in that open plain. It was all the people of the world before the judgment seat of God. And they were not bowing. They were not overwhelmed or overawed. No. They were complaining. They were saying, God, you've lived a sheltered life. You can't judge me from up there in heaven. And here's an old woman who stood forth and said, God, do you see those numbers on my wrist? I was in the Holocaust. I was in Ravensbrück, and I saw all of my loved ones butchered and fried and killed and exploited and mutilated. God, you can't judge me. You don't know what I've endured. And there was a black man there among the millions before the judgment. He said, do you see those rope burns on my neck, God? I was hung just because I was black for no reason. And my people came on boats of slavery. And we worked and worked until we were dead as animals. God, you can't judge me. You don't know what it means to suffer. You've lived a sheltered life. Someone else spoke up from a gulag in Siberia and said, you don't know what I've been through. An untouchable from India said, you don't know what I've been through in shame and disgrace. And here's a man there who was brought up and had a life that was twisted because his mom was a coke addict. And someone else was brought up because a parent was HIV positive. And they tell the shambles and the shame of their life. And they're shaking their fist at the Almighty saying, who are you to judge us? God, you've lived a sheltered life. And so they divided up in committees, thousands upon thousands, all the people of the world, all who've ever lived. And they offered their complaint to God and said, God, we want to sentence you. You have to endure this if you're to judge me. And so they got all their reports in. And finally, they gave the complaint to God and said, God, if you're going to judge us, this is what you have to do. First of all, you have to be born a Jew. Persecution through the ages. Then they said the second thing, you have to be born and your birth has to be questioned in the sense that no one really is sure who your father really is. And then they said, you have to be born with a commission to communicate something to the world that nobody has seen or heard before, and you'll be considered a radical and a revolutionary and a lunatic. And they said, also, you'll have to present a message in which all the religions of the world will seek to destroy what you say and what you've pronounced. Someone else said, oh, yes, you'll have to be betrayed by one of your closest friends and confidants. And then also it said, you'll have to be tried under false charges before a jury that was biased and before a judge that was a coward. Then they said, you'll have to be whipped. Yay! You have to be spat upon and shamed. You'd have to be stripped naked in public. And you'll have to die a horrendous, painful death with enemies and with criminals known in the world. And you'll have to be virtually alone. And every time, what God would have to do in the sentencing of those who'd be judged, there'd be cheers that roll. Yes, that's what you have to do. Yes, that's what you need. God, you've lived a sheltered life. And when all the sentences was completed, suddenly there was silence. Nobody moved. Nobody said a word. Gradually, somebody fell to their knees. Then they all fell on their faces in total silence because everybody knew that God had already served the sentence.
That was Dr. Ed Young wrapping up another message in his new End Time series, and it's great to have him in the studio today. Dr. Young, it was a sobering message, but not a hopeless one. How can we be sure our motives are pure so they aren't burned up in judgment?
You know, we can't be sure our motives are pure. Sometimes I think I do something with the purest of motive and I back up after the event or after the decision and say, you know, I had a little ulterior motive there. I was really trying to manipulate. I was trying to lie to look better than I really am. And so we can never be confident, I don't think, of our motives.
We don't have that privilege in this life, but we have to go and say, Lord, I pray that you will help me to have the right motivation in the choices that I make. And it's so difficult when we're honest about it. Why does anybody preach a sermon? Well, I'm called by God, I'm gifted. Well, is that the only motive that's there? Why does anybody give to someone who's in need? Well, I wanted to help them. Is that the only motive there? Our motives in this world are so shabby sometimes, and we just pray that God will create in us a pure heart and renew a right spirit within us. And we always have to be backing up and checking our motives. That's one reason that the Bible says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You see, we want to say, you know, I did this, and we want to subtly let everybody know that, you know, we helped, we loved, we gave, we went, we witnessed. But we have to check our motives, and our motives, tragically, are so, so very shabby. So sometimes I have to confess, Lord, my motive, it looked good in the showroom, but in the store case of my heart, it was really shabby, and I'm ashamed of that. Help me to have that pure heart in that which I do and that which I say.
Dr. Young, is there any reason to fear the judgment seat of Christ?
Certainly heaven is yours, but the judgment seat of Christ is the moment for justice. A lot of people say, well, you know, I have a problem with hell. If you have a problem with hell, you have a problem with justice. And we know that justice will not take place in this earth. Justice will not happen to all of those who have done so many horrendous things. So I look forward to heaven where justice will be carried out. Now, we say, you know, I want justice. No, I want grace. But there will be justice. All will be revealed. All will be uncovered. And that's a frightening moment for every single person. So judgment time will be a time of justice when God in Jesus Christ will be the judge, and he will sort out. And the Bible teaches about rewards. And you say, well, I just want to get to heaven. Oh, no, we want more than that. I hope that in Christ that we are thinking about, we want to really be close to him and have an eternity that's full of creativity and joy that really is outside our pay scale. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so that God's ways are higher than our ways and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I have no problem with judgment after life in the sense of heaven or hell. That's settled in Jesus Christ in this world. But the thing of justice, oh, that's a little terrifying to anyone. But we know that Jesus Christ will be a just and, thank the Lord God Almighty, loving judge.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series called End Times. There's a lot of confusion in our world about what the future holds. As Christians, far too often we look for confidence in daily headlines instead of trusting God's promises. Dr. Young's 5-message series will help you grow in your assurance of what the Bible says about the future. You'll gain an in-depth understanding of topics such as death, the second coming of Christ, the great judgment, and the promise of heaven. We're excited to send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep the winning walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow and hear Dr. Young share proven truth to help you see what it means to be part of God's kingdom.